Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George, your host from Sports 1140 KHDK, the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings here in California's capital. This is the Locked On Kings podcast. You call yourself a Kings fan, you're in the absolute right place for stories, news, updates, commentary, interviews, scores. We got everything right here for you on the Locked On Kings podcast. Part of, I mentioned, the Locked On Podcast Network. If you call yourself an NBA fan, check out Locked On NBA. They put on a great show of everything that's going on league-wide. Also, if you're an NFL fan, you have Locked On NFL as well. They're getting ready and gearing up for a major NFL draft. So much going on the Locked On Podcast Network, and you are absolutely in the right place if you call yourself, whether it's a Kings fan, a sports fan, anything at all, you have picked the right podcast network. Yesterday, we planned on doing a heavy recap show today and planned on having Jason Ross on to talk March Madness. Then I woke up this morning with an article in Sactown Royalty called 12 Damn Years. It's written by a good friend of mine, Tim Maxwell, here in Sacramento, and I wanted to share that with you. So we completely decided to change the format. This is going to be all about this article. I'm going to have Tim on. He's going to be joining me and sharing his thoughts behind this article. But before that, if you haven't already, go to SactownRoyalty.com, and I encourage you to read the article once or twice through so you have the context, or you can just skim through, get bits and pieces, and we'll go through and fill in a lot of the gaps for you in this interview. But we'll touch base on the Kings game last night really quick. The Kings lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder 106-101. We're going to have full recap and analysis and highlights from that one in tomorrow's podcast, as well as a preview of Sacramento Kings and Miami Heat from the Golden 1 Center. That's happening tomorrow as well. But for now, let me get you to my interview with Tim Maxwell, who wrote this phenomenal article for Sactown Royalty. If you are not familiar with Sactown Royalty, the blog, I consider it to be the number one blog, one of the top blogs in all of sports, but definitely if you call yourself a Sacramento Kings fan and you do not follow or read Sactown Royalty, you are seriously missing out. I highly encourage it. That entire team of Sactown Royalty, what they've put together down there, they just always provide significantly phenomenal content, always have a great pulse, not just on the locker room and on the Kings organization themselves, but really they do the best job, I think, out of most media markets of what is very, very difficult to do, and that's bridge the gap between a fan base and an actual organization. Sactown Royalty does that very, very well. And a lot of it has to do because of the efforts of this man. I am joined by Tim Maxwell of Sactown Royalty at TimMaxwell22. You can follow him on Twitter. He's known as the Sactown Baby Giraffe. Tim and I have spoken a number of times, whether it was on KHDK on game night or here for you for the first time on the Locked On Kings podcast. I consider Tim a friend. I hope that feeling is mutual. And as Tim joins me right now, Tim, thank you so much for taking the time here on Locked On Kings.
Yep, you're absolutely a friend, Matt. Thanks so much for having me on.
So Tim wrote this extremely painful but eye-opening and ultimately phenomenal article. And if you haven't read it, I encourage you, pause this podcast right now, go to SactownRoyalty.com, and just look up the article, 12 Damn Years. The article, the title itself, speaks for itself. It's been 12 damn years, Tim, since the Sacramento Kings have been in the playoffs, and they are approaching a very significant and painful milestone and record in the NBA, but we will definitely get to that. But 12 damn years, we're going to pick bits and pieces out of this article to go over, but the entire thing, again, is a phenomenal read, Tim. You did a phenomenal job. First off, before we get into the article itself, what inspired you? What lit that fire for you to sit down and write something like this?
Well, I think I actually saw a tweet by, I forget which author, who was talking about the Phoenix Suns being eliminated from the playoffs. And it just kind of sparked an emotion in me because I knew soon coming thereafter, the Kings were right on the Suns' heels as far as inability to win this season. So that sparked an emotion in me that I knew it had been 12 years. That number has been kind of sitting on my mind all year, and it inspired me to just look up playoff drought histories and where we stand within league history. I mean, in the entirety of the NBA in existence, where do we stand as far as our futility goes? And unfortunately, I discovered that it was worse than I imagined.
Yeah, the 12 damn years. Again, the title speaks for itself. This will be season number 12 that the Kings have not made it into the postseason. I'm scrolling through literally as we speak, which is very unprofessional of me. There it is. 4,330 days, Tim. And you put the stat in there. You came up with that yourself. 4,330 days since the Kings were eliminated from the playoffs by the San Antonio Spurs. You were 15 years old when that happened. That is absolutely insane that it has been that long. And those have been 4,330 very up and down years. You also mentioned in here that it was an up and down period of a lot of changes in ownership. We had the relocation saga. We had a bunch of, you said, incompetent coaches, franchise crippling trades. Sorry, you said unqualified coaches. And then your old friend cash considerations you put in there as well. How difficult was it for this entire article to sum up and still pay homage to the fact that it hasn't just been with one ownership, or this organization has gone through a lot of changes over these 12 years?
Yeah, so one of the things I wanted to highlight in the article was the fact that the level of responsibility can be placed on in many areas. There's the Maloofs, Ron Adive, there's different coaches, different trades, different draft picks. Unfortunately, with a drought this long, spanning so many years, we can't just assign the blame to Nick Stauskas. He was a bad draft pick, or Jimmer Fredette, or the Philadelphia trade. There has been hundreds, literally hundreds of decisions that have gone into this franchise that have crippled it to the state it's in as of right now. And what I wanted to highlight was the fact that although there are all these different parties that were responsible for the cause and the blame, current ownership and the current management team, it is their responsibility to remove us from all of those mistakes. And while the blame may not lay at their feet, the responsibility certainly does.
So, Tim, there are two other teams, two other franchises that you said have managed to, quote, outdo the Kings in losing prowess. That's what you said in the article. That's the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have a 13-year playoff drought. They're expected to end that this year. They're in a very, very tight Western Conference race, and we know how that's going on right now. A handful of losses, they can find themselves out of it. But as of right now, we expect them to end that drought and make it to the postseason this year. The team that owns the title is the Los Angeles Clippers, a 15-year playoff drought. The Kings now at 12, heading on 13. Do you see in these next couple of years things getting any better? And is this article, in sense, kind of a call to action of the current ownership? Look, you need to change things, and we need to get things done before this 15th year comes up.
Yes, I think to kind of answer your two-part question, yes, I think things will get better. Will they get better in time to not break the record? That's a pretty big question mark. Right now, the Kings are on pace to win about 25 games this season. It's looking like a need of about 45 wins is necessary to make the 8th seed this year in the West. So can we see a 20-game improvement, which we've never seen with the Kings in this amount of time, but a 20-game improvement in just 3 years? I think if we hit in our draft pick and make some scores in free agency, it's possible. As far as call to action, absolutely. I don't know who reads these articles or what members of the organization read the article, but I hope that the message received is that fans are tired and fans need something quickly. This cannot be a 5-year rebuild plan or a 7-year rebuild plan. I mean, Vlade Divac even gave himself a 2-year time frame. So action needs to happen, and it needs to happen quickly, or why are we even playing if we're going to go 15 or 20 years without a postseason berth?
Tim, last when the Golden One Center opened last season, Vivek and the Kings ownership were totally gung-ho, all head full. We want to have playoffs in the Golden One Center the first year it opened. That seemed to be the ultimate franchise goal, and it was universally accepted from the locker room to the coaching staff to the front office and even the fan base. Well, we know the Kings then went in a different direction, even though they were still able to potentially get that 8th seed by trading DeMarcus Cousins. Now the goal has kind of muddied into developing players and trying to get back with this new regime. But ultimately, do you believe the goal should be not reaching that 15-year mark? Should that be the ultimate sight that this franchise is setting their eyes on?
Not necessarily. I would say, would it be better to have a long-term core in place and reach it after 16 years than reach the 8th seed once after 14 years and then never reach again, of course. I think there just needs to be a twofold effort of, yes, we need to build the young core while also working on the side. What veteran, solid players can we bring in to help this thing move along? Especially, I think one thing, one very, very small silver lining of the Philadelphia trade, the famous Philadelphia trade that we threw away our 2019 first-round pick, is it did give us a starting point. We are going to draft in June, and then we don't have another first-round draft pick in 2019. So we must start winning this summer, and that means aggressive in free agency. That means offering max contracts to players who deserve them and pursuing guys that can help us win now, that aren't in their mid to late 30s but are in their, you know, mid to late 20s.
Tim, does it just come down to being a pride thing? Is it the Kings should take pride in not trying to reach that 15-plus-a-year playoff drought mark, becoming the record holders? Or does that have serious implications or negative effects on a franchise, you think, if the Kings ended up owning that record?
I don't think there are a ton of consequences that could come along with having a 15-year losing record. To be honest, the Kings on the non-basketball operations side, on the business side, seem to be running beautifully. We know the NBA valuations are sky high right now, so investors have increased their investment two or three times. So I don't think there's any concern as far as the franchise goes. Should there be pride involved? Absolutely. Should current ownership feel a little embarrassed because of the streak? Absolutely. And should they be doing everything they can to eliminate that possibility of reaching the streak? Absolutely. You have fans in cities across the world tuning their TV into games every night and spending their hard-earned money for your product, and frankly, the product isn't good.
I'm glad you brought up current ownership, because I think they're an interesting piece to this entire puzzle. We're going to talk about really how much falls on their shoulders and how much they are to blame for everything in just a sec. But in the article, you had this phenomenal analogy, and you talked about like a restaurant that goes through an ownership change and a rebranding, but ultimately the food tastes the same and everything is the same. Can you maybe expand on that a little bit and describe and explain that analogy a little bit for fans that are listening that may not necessarily understand it or who haven't read the article? Because I think it's really important. It tells the story perfectly of what it was like with this new ownership coming in and how they've kind of transformed the Kings, or at least tried to transform the Kings, over the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a local restaurant here in Phoenix. I won't name it, but my family and I used to go there many Sundays after church, and we always liked it. It had a good atmosphere, good wait staff, large serving sizes, decent prices, you know, everything you want in a restaurant, especially as a large family. And over the years, we've noticed the restaurant start to go into decline, and over time, you notice things like plate sizes growing smaller and not enough wait staff, or the wait staff is unprofessional, and the food quality goes down. And we've all had that experience with a favorite restaurant or maybe a favorite retail store or whatever it is. And what I likened it to is the fact that if you were to see that restaurant go under new ownership, like we've seen the Kings go under new ownership, and the new owner makes promises and repaints the restaurant and brings in new silverware and new chairs and new tables and repaints and cleans and hires a new staff, and those are all things the Kings have essentially done for us. And while they're all good and they're all necessary to survive in the business, they're not the core product. And just like a restaurant with a beautiful dining room that serves terrible food, the Kings have a beautiful arena and they play terrible basketball. So what we need ownership to do is to provide all of those exterior things, as well as to provide us some good basketball food, which we have been starved of now for 12 years.
I want to read a chunk of this article that I really, really enjoyed. You said, "While not all the blame for this sad streak can be assigned to Vivek Ranadive, 100% of the responsibility for ending the misery and ending it quickly falls squarely on his shoulders. He took that mantle on when he purchased the team. It is Vivek's job to truly bring us back to the glory days, not by bringing former players into the organization or by constantly playing highlights and celebrating the early 2000 teams, but by making the necessary moves to drive this derelict franchise back to the postseason. Let us care again." There are two really, really good pieces of that. The first piece is about Vivek specifically. How much of this falls on his shoulders and the shoulders of the current franchise? Can we say we can't blame the Maloofs and the past any longer? It's up to you guys. No excuses. Make it happen.
I think we're at that point. I think it's been 5 years, so five seasons. That's, if you give them three seasons to kind of shed the the bad contracts. There's no one on the team that was on the team when Vivek took the team over. The coaching staff has been changed over now 4 times. The GM has been changed over twice. Everything's new. The draft picks have been ours, have been under Vivek's direction or under his team's direction for 5 years. So half a decade. If we think about it in that context, the streak is almost half of Vivek. 7 years under the Moose, 5 under Vivek. So next season will be 6. I don't think anyone realistically believes the Kings will make the playoffs next year. So 7 years under the Moose, 6 under Vivek. At some point, he begins to take on the majority of the responsibility, especially with the financial abilities he has that the Maloofs didn't have towards the end of their reign.
You talk about the nostalgia effect, too. That was the second part of this, talking about the early 2000 teams or bringing back faces of those teams that fans love. And have to be a little bit careful here. But, you know, it seems like this organization has tried to really rely on the nostalgia, especially recently, to carry us through the tough times. Hey, guys, remember how great it was in the early 2000s? Remember how amazing it was in Sacramento? Remember the glory days, the Arco Thunder, Mike Bibby? Let's bring him back to the arena. Let's bring Jason Williams back to the arena. Let's have Doug Christie work on the broadcast team. Let's have Vlade run the team and have Peja be his assistant. Let's have Bobby be an assistant coach or be on the radio. Henry Turner from time to time. It just seems like the Kings are constantly trying to mix in the magic of the early 2000s into the way the organization is run today. I think it couldn't be done successfully as long as it is controlled. Do you think it's gotten a little out of hand?
I think so. I believe it's mostly driven by the fact that we're not really seeing progress. So, yes, bring back those guys and let's celebrate the early 2000s and let's play highlights and let's bring back Bibby and Williams. And I'm okay with former players being involved as long as they're qualified and all of those things. But at some point, we need to get back to those glory days and not on the Jumbotron in the Golden One Center, but on the court in the Golden One Center. So what do we have to do to get back there? And whatever that means, that's what we need to do, whether that's make a trade, sign someone, fire someone, hire someone. I don't really care what they believe the solution to be, but the fact that I think to a certain extent there's a little bit of distraction going on with those celebrations is beginning to irk me as a fan.
This is going to be a little bit brutal to say. I'm an optimist. I tend to be an optimist. A lot of people like that about me. A lot of people, it drives them nuts. I don't try and be an apologist for this organization because I recognize that a lot of the wounds of this organization, actually, I'd go as far to say most of the wounds of this organization over this 13 or 12 year drought have been self-inflicted. I think you'd agree with most of that, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely.
But looking at this franchise going forward, this is difficult for me to say because I grew up a fan of this organization. I've been following this organization both as a fan and as a journalist for many, many years. There are many times over the past 2 seasons that I would go to a game and I'm being paid to attend Sacramento Kings games and I'm sitting there not wanting to be there, looking around at the majority of seats filled and thinking, man, people have paid money to see this. And yes, it's a shiny new building like you talked about. All the silverware is changed and all the new paint on the walls. But ultimately, the product, the basketball itself, still sucks. I believe the Kings are trying to move in the right direction and are moving in the right direction. Winning is not in the near future, hopefully maybe 2 years down the road. And I like the fact that the Kings seem to have a plan and they're sticking to it. Ultimately, what I'm trying to say, Tim, and not to put you on the spot, but it's easy to complain about the way things are, and certainly Kings fans have an absolute right to with how long things have been like this. But ultimately, what is the solution? It's easy to just complain and not being able to point out, well, the Kings should have done this differently or should do that differently. A lot of fans just want to share their opinion, which is fine. But to you, after writing this article and pointing out the struggles, do you see a solution even in effect right now, or do you have an idea of what needs to happen, what A, B, and C, what are the plans A, B, and C for things to actually change?
Sure. I think, first of all, I'll give myself this caveat. It's very easy to armchair GM, and what I mean by that is direct a team from the distance with no consequences and no salaries and no personalities. But I think, really, the main thing that successful organizations do is they use assets well, whether that's cap space, whether that's a draft pick, whether that's open positions within the organization. They use those assets to their advantage, and they use them smartly. And we haven't seen the organization do that for a long time. And there's been hits here and there, certainly, but we look at how the team spent their money this offseason. George Hill, failure. Zach Randolph, good for the locker room, on the court, not good.
Yeah.
Vince Carter's been great. I don't have any problem with that signing. But we look at the last 5 years, all of this team's free agent signings, and we can see maybe one or two have been successful and the rest have been bad, right? We look at draft picks. There's been a couple of good ones. There's been Scal. Fox has looked good. And then there's been some really, really bad ones. There's been Papianis. There's Malachi Richardson didn't work out. Colley Stein's looked okay, right? He's kind of right in the middle. We've looked at trades, some good ones, some bad ones. And what we need to do is leverage those assets better. So this offseason, we have several young, really talented big men, and the market is small. So can this organization put its money where its mouth is and go sign one of those guys, or at least try? I mean, this last season, we tried to sign Otto Porter. It didn't work out. But you've got Julius Randle. You've got Aaron Gordon. You've got Jabari Parker. You've got three young big men who are probably better than any big man we have on the team right now, and they're available if you're willing to spend. So will this organization spend the money, spend the assets to make things smoother?
Last thing, Tim, is you ended the article saying, let us fans root for and try and track a race for the eighth seed rather than a race for the number one pick. I thought that was very, very well said. The Kings were in a very similar situation last year before the DeMarcus Cousins trade, and not to beat a dead horse, but ultimately your opinion on it, do you think it would have been better for the Sacramento Kings to make the eighth seed with DeMarcus Cousins, even to just be swept and really get their butts kicked by the Golden State Warriors last year, which we all think would have happened? Would that be better than where we are right now?
Ultimately, no. Yes, the playoffs have been nice, but I think this is a scenario we kind of discussed earlier, making the eighth seed once and then kind of falling into oblivion. And I think we would have been in a really tough spot. The max contract to DeMarcus would have been pretty financially demanding, and who knows, obviously he would not have been injured, and he was playing wonderfully in New Orleans, and I'm a big Boogie fan. The thing that I did not trust and still don't really trust this management team with is building a contender quickly.
Yeah.
So we would have had Boogie, but what would we have done after that? George Hill was a terrible signing, it turns out. So if we had signed George Hill and Zach Randolph and paired them with Boogie, I don't think you're anywhere close to playoffs. One quick thing is what I did as well, just to kind of map out the time frame in my mind, is I looked at the Timberwolves, since they're probably going to end their streak this season, and they have Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And the Kings don't have two players of that caliber on the roster. And even Jeff Teague, I don't think they have a player of his caliber on the roster. So we need to obtain that talent, whether that's through young free agents and maxing them out or drafting well. But no, I would still trade DeMarcus Cousins. I don't know if you feel the same, but I certainly would.
Tim, thank you again so much for writing this article and taking the time. Again, if Kings fans, check out 12 Damn Years on Sacktown Royalty. Check out all of Sacktown Royalty's comments. But I promise you, read this and read it a couple times through. The first time I read it through, emotionally, some things ticked me off. Other things hurt and were painful to read. But the second time reading through, it's so phenomenally well done. And it perfectly captures really the struggles of what it's been like, both as a Kings fan and from the organizational standpoint. And I guarantee you, if people in the organization were smart enough to actually click on this article and read it and understand what it's been like, I'm sure they would see a lot of their scenario and what they've been going through in this article. Tim did a phenomenal job. Again, 12 damn years. Check that out on SacktownRoyalty.com. Tim, thank you again so much for taking the time. Well done on the article. We'll have to do it again soon.
Yep. Thanks so much, Matt.
Hey guys, it's time to talk to you about the boatload of money you can make this week betting at MyBookie. If you haven't checked them out, this is the perfect time to get into the action. The madness of March is here. Lay down some money on Score Big on some college hoops. You can join me and thousands of online players and start betting at MyBookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout from these other sites? Come join MyBookie today. I would only recommend a service that's been good to me and to our listeners. That's why I urge you to make your way to MyBookie. When you win, they pay fast and without any hassles. You're wasting your time really on any other site. They have even in-game live betting, so you can even place a bet after tip-off. Join now and MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. You can even enter for a chance to win their $1 million bracket challenge. You can use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today, play, win, and get paid. My thanks again to Tim Maxwell. A phenomenal interview, an even better read. Check it out. I can't say it enough. SacktownRoyalty.com. 12 damn years. Read that article. Read the rest of Tim's work. This is actually some of the rare times that Tim actually does opinionated pieces. Tim is a very logical, numbers, trades, strategy type mind. So he always dives deep into lottery odds or draft potential ideas and targets or trade ideas. He loves the trade deadline just as much as I do. Tim Maxwell is such a phenomenal resource if you are a Sacramento Kings fan, and I encourage you a million times over to follow him on Twitter at TimMaxwell22 or to follow Sacktown Royalty in general. Check out all of their content. It is always phenomenal. You know how to follow things because you're following the Locked On Kings podcast. You've made that right decision. Make another one by following Sacktown Royalty. That is going to do it for us today. Again, tomorrow we will dive headfirst into the Sacramento Kings and Oklahoma City Thunder matchup. I'm sorry we didn't get any highlights and any talk about that today, but I wanted to hit hard on this article because it absolutely exploded on the scene here in Sacramento today. So we'll talk about the OKC game tomorrow, also preview the Miami Heat. And yes, coming this week is my interview with Jason Ross about March Madness. So stay tuned for that. But for now, my name is Matt George. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.